May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. Now, it's a well-known fact that when you're in a group of Episcopalians that are chatting it up with one another, all you have to do to shut them up is to say those five little words. The Lord be with you. I just used it back there. Just with our altar party, right? We all know this, but what if you want to do just the opposite? Huh? Yeah. What if you want to get a bunch of Episcopalians talking? The answer, my friends, is in our gospel reading for today. That's your little cliffhanger, so stay tuned. The setting of our gospel reading is the evening on the day of the resurrection, the day of the discovery of the empty tomb, really, right? The disciples are all behind locked doors for fear of their lives, what John calls for fear of the Jews. Now, one of the things we want to keep in mind, it's a well-documented fact that in the generation of believers that right immediately after the Easter event, there did arise a rift between Christians and Jews. You see, the problem was that, the earliest Christians were Jews. Yeah, and so what we witness from the time of Jesus' crucifixion through the writing of our canonical Gospels is a civil disturbance, if you will, in the Jewish community. And why the disciples were hunkered down behind closed doors was just fear. Now, fear is really kind of an odd thing if you think about it. Fear could, in the case here, be a knee-jerk reaction to events around us, or it could keep us safe from doing something really stupid. And I think I've used this this reference before, but some of the most famous last words of anyone is, "Hold my beer and watch me do this." Fear of tragedy for the disciples, and for a lot of people today, results in, cutting ourselves off from one another and from God. And the Bible, all the way through, it's got a lot of stuff depicting people in fear, especially when they see God or when they're encountering God, right? From Adam and Eve, think about that. Oh, yeah, fear response. To Mary, the mother of Jesus. The Bible is full of accounts of people who encountered God or God's messengers and responded with what? Fear. In biblical narratives, it seems that the Lord was always dealing with people who were afraid of what was going on or fearful of what was happening next. So does anyone here feel any fear about the times we live in, huh? Anybody? No, you do not need to show your hands. So we had a reading from the book of Revelation today, and I'm not preaching on the book of Revelation, but I just got to say this. One of the things that we don't get about the book of Revelation is that it was written specifically for the kind of audience who were experiencing a lot of fear in their lives. We heard that glowing opening from the book of Revelation in our second lesson, right? John, to the seven churches and from Jesus Christ, who? The faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. Yeah. So one of the reasons why we don't get the basic message of hope in the last book of the Bible is that we aren't dealing with, the same kind of fears that the original listeners were. But today's gospel lesson, the one featuring the confrontation between Jesus and the disciples on the evening of the day of the discovery of the open tomb is classic because it deals with the kind of fear that shows up when you realize that all your expectations, all your hopes, all of your dreams that you hold so precious are totally out of whack with current events. Sound familiar? It doesn't matter whether your political sweat drips blue, red, purple, or chartreuse. And if it is, you got to get that one checked out. I'll bet you're experiencing fear today. On one side, you're fearful. You like the changes that you see, but you're afraid it's not going to work out. On the other side, there's people who are in fear of, well, they don't like the changes they see and fear that it will not work out. And that we're going to be in financial chaos the rest of our lives, right? And God knows everybody is fearful about the price of eggs not ever going down, right? Jesus' disciples in our gospel lection for today had made a calculated decision that the world is no longer safe. And we got to take measures into our own hands to protect ourselves. So this resurrection appearance in John's gospel is the one to the 10. Okay, so last week we had an appearance. He made it to the 2 and the 1. This week he makes it to the 10 and the 1. Did you get that? Last week it was to Peter and John and then Mary Magdalene. This week it's the 10 disciples and Thomas. Last week the disciples came looking for Jesus at the tomb. This week, we get Jesus coming looking for the disciples. Last week, we heard that the beloved disciple saw and believed. And this week, we hear of the doubting disciple seeing and believing. Last week, the Lord's words to Mary in the garden were, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" This week, we get different words from the resurrected Christ. And it's in how the Lord greets them. What were his first words? Well, or for that matter, what were his second words? If you look at it closely, and then he revisits them a week later, and what are his first words again, a third time? "Peace be with you." By the way, that's how you get a crowd of quiet Episcopalians to get them talking. You know what I mean, because when we do the peace here in a little bit, ain't nobody going to shut up. But we got to talk about Thomas, right? Got to talk about Thomas. Thomas is a character in Scripture that if you're following his behavior, we don't see a whole lot about him. Only John's gospel tells us that he even has a nickname. And what does that nickname mean? It means the twin. Yeah, maybe he was actually a twin in real life. But, you know, literally speaking, Thomas is a character who represents the people of the early church who feared that putting your faith in a crucified Lord might not be worth the risk. I believe that John tells us that Thomas is nicknamed the twin because he is our twin, everybody's twin in the believing church. Thomas is a reflection of a typical later generation believer who was experiencing fear. Thomas is that strikingly honest projection of us, our, I've got to see it to believe it, wonderful selves. Furthermore, Thomas is that disciple who utters the confession for the ages that conveys the basic belief that the resurrected Jesus is who? My Lord and my God. Now, I'll bet you ask, oh, well, what proof do we have that believing in Jesus makes any difference, right? What is our proof? Well, you think about it, it's the same proof that Thomas had. Put your finger here and see my hands. Put your hand and reach out your hand and put it in my side. The message that John is trying to convey in this interaction is that that same Jesus that walked among them that was killed is the same Jesus who is now resurrected and eternally exalted. It's the same one, same guy, same Lord. Blessed are those who have not seen and believe. There is so much evidence in the world, though, to the contrary, right? That belief in this Lord doesn't make a difference. I mean, right? Belief, will never, ever change these circumstances that are going on around us, especially in any political administration. But belief will transform our experience of what is happening. That's what it changes. The circumstances are going to be what the circumstances are. Belief is what allows us to experience the risen Christ. Belief is what allows us to experience hope. A belief is what allows us to experience love. Don't let the circumstances determine whether or not you're experiencing any of that. We have the opportunity to put the peace of Christ into action every day, especially in the turmoil of today's times. Peace, it's what the risen Lord offers us today. And I hope you get this from our gospel passage. Not only did he offer them peace three times, but he also gave them authority. He gave them a promise. He gave them a commission. He breathed on them and said, what? Receive the Holy Spirit. So, John and Luke didn't know each other, okay, as far as the gospel writers. Luke says that the Spirit didn't come till 50 days after. As far as John is concerned, the Spirit came that same night of the crucifixion, resurrection, open tomb experience. Same night, he breathed on them. Did you know that it doesn't matter where you're talking, Old Testament or New Testament, the word for wind, spirit, breath, same word for all three words. Wind, spirit, breath, it's all the same. He breathed on them and said, what? Receive the Holy Spirit. And gave us authority. Authority to do what? To be those people who experience peace regardless of the circumstances. This is the Easter greeting, my friends. No matter how awful, no matter how horrible you may think things are, our resurrected Lord comes to us saying what? Peace be with you. Peace doesn't come as a zero-sum game. Peace is actually a win-win for everyone. The peace of Christ, especially after his death and resurrection, it turns losers into winners. Oh, but I have so much doubt. Well, everybody does. We're all on that same train, folks. Faith and believing are never a done deal. Faith is always in a close race with doubt. And in fact, the act of faith is a constant dialogue with doubt. Did you hear that? That's not the first time I've said that in here. The act of faith is a constant dialogue with doubt. How do you know you believe? Because you doubt. Thomas is one of many people's favorite characters of the Bible because he reflects who you are, he reflects who we are, he reflects who the church is. And who is that? Fearful that love doesn't win. Fearful that fear and hate are what rule the day. But the peace of Christ, it's still coming at us, folks. We can be like the disciples. What did they do? They shut the door and locked it. Did that stop him? No, the peace still came in. Just like the risen Lord, the peace of Christ comes to us, whether we want it or not. We don't even have to invite it. Christ's peace comes unbidden. Do you get that? The key, though, is are we going to allow ourselves to experience it? And that, my friends, is on y'all. That's our work as the church. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen.